Human Shield, written by Nikki Gabriel and read by Sunkit and Shash. An Avatar the Last Airbender Gen fic, rated teen. Upon waking up this particular morning, Zuko was filled with dread about what this day will probably bring him. He's used to having nightmares. He knows it's how his body copes with whatever life throws at him, and usually he doesn't remember his dreams at all after he wakes up. Which is probably a blessing. He knows he has them, though. Uncle told him so multiple times, when he so often sat next to his bed on the ship, helping him after his father burnt half of his face and banished him, and even later when they were wandering through the Earth Kingdom. Zuko is also glad that he rarely talks while sleeping. Not that he's had many sleeping companions so far. His uncle, his crew, and some strangers on the road to Ba Sing Se, where he couldn't actually even sleep because of the noise all around. Now he has his own room, with a view from the window that even the royal palace in Caldera would envy, and he doesn't need to worry much about waking up any of his newly found companions with his disturbing dreams. Unfortunately, the Air Temple is also a quiet place at night, and Zuko knows firsthand that the other kids living there were not spared by the war, and that they too have nightmares. Specifically, Aang has nightmares. Zuko knows he can't help him deal with the truth about everything that has happened during the last 100 years, but there is one thing he can do, and he will, but it's also the one thing that Zuko knows will cost him dearly. Only the fragile trust that has been forming between them in the last few days since they visited the Masters gives him strength to make a decision to reach out and, well, help. It's not in his nature to reach out, considering his past and how many times he has literally been burned, but he's willing to relearn, step by step, if that's what is needed to help Aang. That's what Zuko is here for, after all. Anyway, right now, it's not about him, it's about Aang, and Zuko can put aside his own needs and insecurities. He's been taught to do so for his entire life, and he exceeded expectations in that matter. If he was equally good at firebending, he would have already been a master. For the last few days, Zuko's noticed Aang watching his sword sparring sessions with Sokka, and it doesn't take a scholar to connect the dots about the way Aang was looking at them. Dealing with the genocide of the Air Nomads, where Aang was not there to witness it, is one thing, but actually facing his own death with no way out is another thing entirely. Sitting up on his bed, Zuko sighs and rubs his face. He can't postpone the confrontation any longer. The sooner they deal with it, the better. So, a few hours later, when Zuko spars with Sokka, he tries to be particularly careful, because he's aware that he's scared of what he's about to do, and he wouldn't ever forgive himself if Sokka got hurt because of his lack of concentration. Aang isn't there to watch them this time, and Zuko is grateful for that respite at least. "Do you think that I could learn fighting with two swords?" Sokka asks, when he comes back after retrieving his sword from the rocky wall, where Zuko had sent it in a smooth motion after disarming him. The sword is sharp enough to stick into the wall a few inches. Sokka said that it's made of a meteorite, so the sword isn't in any way damaged. Zuko would feel jealous if his Dao swords hadn't been his weapon of choice for years. Still, it would be nice if they were made of fancy meteorite. "These are not two swords," Zuko explains, glancing toward Katara, who's sitting on one of the nearby boulders, watching them sharply. "It's one sword." Sokka looks at him for a moment with a frown. "So it's like one weapon?" he finally asks. "Same as your girlfriend uses those shuriken thingies?" Zuko winces at the mention of Mei, but nods.
Yes, Mei uses them like that. It's different with the daggers, but it's also one weapon. If you treat it correctly, that is.
I see, Sokka nods, and stands on guard again. In that case, I'll stick to my boomerang. He grins. I've already tamed it. Zuko smiles. It's the same expression Mei used when she was learning throwing daggers. Zuko has never tamed anything. He couldn't even tame the turtle ducks. Which is probably good, because they would have missed him when he was banished. Zuko lets Sokka attack him. Today, they are learning the offensive start, and he focuses on showing him how to not use too much energy on the first strike, but still make it strong enough to overpower his opponent. Somehow, teaching Sokka sword fighting is a piece of cake, compared with teaching Aang firebending. Sokka wants to learn and enjoys it, while Aang is still struggling. Which is not surprising. Finally, Zuko lowers his swords and steps back, nodding his approval of Sokka's last move, and with that gesture finishes their sparring. Not bad, huh? Sokka asks casually, but Zuko senses his uncertainty. He knows the feeling all too well, and he can choose not to comment as his own teachers used to. So Zuko sheathes his swords and steps toward him. He reaches out for Sokka's hand and demonstrates a move with his left wrist.
Do that, he says.
Sokka mirrors his gesture, getting it almost right. Zuko corrects him and then says,
Once more.
Like that?
Yes, Zuko nods. Practice it today when you're not using your hands for anything else. That way your muscle memory will help you when you need to switch hands tomorrow when we work on two-handed combat.
Oh, that's great! Sokka beams. Do I have to use the sword when I practice it? It doesn't seem practical.
No, you don't have to hold the sword. Just practice the movement.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Sokka is getting better with every training they manage to schedule, and now he swings his space sword a few times with satisfaction, then runs to get some water from Katara, who is waiting for him at the entrance of one of the halls in the Air Temple. She, unlike Aang, always watches them, still not trusting Zuko, and making sure with her mere presence that Zuko knows his place. Zuko knows his place. He glances after Sokka, and he catches Katara's expression when she looks at her brother, her eyes full of warmth and pride and love. Zuko is not going to think about Azula now. He is not. In his life, Zuko hasn't experienced much friendship directed toward him, and he's still in awe of how easily Aang is ready to give him a second chance. He clings to this reality as tightly as if it were a lifeline. It's the only thing that helps him to go on with this crazy and unreal mission. Zuko takes a deep breath and turns around, suddenly feeling almost dizzy. He knows what he has to do. He has been planning it for some time now, but that doesn't make it any easier. Trust is a fragile thing, and he knows how easy it is to misstep on the path to redemption. His collection of wrong choices is extensive. Yet he knows it's not about him. It's about helping Aang with his destiny, and as Zuko is now part of this destiny, he can't hesitate just because he's scared of what will happen. Fear hasn't stopped him yet. Aang is already waiting for him around the corner, at the small terrace where they usually sit to meditate together before their firebending classes. He waves at Zuko with a wide grin as Zuko comes closer. It's noon, not even one cloud shading the sun. Perfect weather for firebending for beginners, but Zuko halts a few steps away from Aang. He puts his swords on one of the rocky shelves, and doesn't miss the fading of the smile on Aang's face when he catches a glimpse of them. This is the reason he must do what needs to be done, no matter how much it may hurt Zuko in the end. Aang bows to him, and they sit on the ledge, Aang shifting his legs into a meditating pose, but Zuko puts a hand on his shoulder, stopping him.
"Can I talk to you before we start?" he asks.
Aang turns toward him, surprised, but without any wariness. "Sure," he says, and sits more comfortably, just a few inches away. Zuko looks him in the eyes, hoping that when it's over he will still be allowed to do so, and that he will see the same acceptance there. Aang trusts him, and Zuko has decided to do the same, because this is the only way he can be his teacher, and, maybe one day, a friend. It won't work any other way.
"I want to apologize."
"For what?" Aang frowns. "I mean, why? I mean, I've forgiven you."
"This apology is special, just between us. I need to. Please?"
"Okay." Aang shifts closer, and Zuko relishes in the moment of closeness that he's worried will vanish soon. He meets Aang's eyes, even though he would rather do anything else.
"I want to apologize for the—"
his voice betrays him, so he starts again.
"For when I put my swords to your throat."
Aang blinks and tenses. "Oh." Zuko turns his head away.
"You did what you had to do, Zuko," Aang says, but his voice trembles slightly.
"They wouldn't have killed me. They would have kept me alive to prevent another hunt for the next Avatar. And if you hadn't come for me, what they did to you, what your father did to you, and you're his son, what do you think they would have done to me? I can't even imagine."
Now his voice breaks completely. Zuko winces. They both have the same nightmares. "So don't."
He turns toward him and grasps his hand, squeezing. Aang doesn't move. He just looks at their hands.
"When I was rescuing you, I wasn't thinking about those reasons," Zuko admits slowly. "I only wanted to capture you for myself. But when I saw you there, chained and... Aang, we've never met like that before."
Aang looks up. "Yeah." Zuko sighs. This is going to be the hardest part of his apology.
"At the South Pole, I didn't understand what was actually happening," he explains. "I'd been hunting for the Avatar for 3 years, and suddenly he was there. I wasn't prepared to deal with that situation."
3 years?
"Well, you weren't there to find, were you?" Zuko shrugs.
"If it helps, you found me a few hours after Katara broke me out of the ice."
"So you can imagine what position I was suddenly in. I don't think anybody would have been prepared for what happened next, and I'd already almost lost any hope of ever finding you. But when Zhao got you, by then I knew what I was doing."
Zuko squares his shoulders and tenses, but he doesn't look away.
"You were my bridge to going home at that time. Nothing else, Aang."
He realizes that he's gripping Aang's wrist, so he releases him. But even though Aang's hand tenses, he doesn't take it away. Zuko looks at their clasped hands. Aang's is cooler and so much smaller than Zuko's, and he senses tears threatening to blur his vision. The difference in size makes him feel even worse. He looks up and he realizes that Aang also isn't hiding anything. "You scared me," Aang admits in a whisper, his voice shaking. The pain in his eyes is raw and shattering. Zuko's heart breaks.
I know. I wanted you to be scared,
he whispers, a tear running down his right cheek. He can't feel anything on the left side.
Nonetheless, everything felt so wrong when I approached you in that cell. And then they found us, and you helped me escape. And suddenly I was holding you in my arms, like a human shield, with my swords pressed against your throat. And Aang...
Zuko shivers, choking, but he is unable to look away. Aang's eyes are filled with anguish, betrayal, pain, sadness, rage, and other feelings Zuko has never seen directed at him that he can't even put a name to. But he knows them all so well, and yet he knows he deserves it all.
Recently, I did a lot of thinking about what has actually happened to me since I found you at the South Pole, and it all comes down to that moment.
Zuko has never been so sure about anything in his life. How? This time, Zuko closes his eyes for a minute, just to ground himself before he continues.
I was never so aware of a moment as when I was holding you, facing Zhao and his men. Even when we met the Masters and they showed us that fire is life, I didn't feel as alive as I did back at Po Hai. We were so close that I could feel everything you felt, and those were my feelings. You were me. I felt you shudder. I sensed your fear and dread of me, of the future, or the lack thereof. We were both trapped in a situation with no way out, and I was so sharply aware that we could both die there, together. I could feel and hear your heartbeat, and I could swear it was mine. It was like a paradigm shift. I was holding in my arms a child, whom I was trying to drag to my father, who would do unthinkable things to him, things that were wrong and cruel, like he had done to me.
Zuko.
Aang, you were a child, and I was using you to save myself, and I realized I was doing exactly what I tried to prevent when I got banished.
Aang frowns. I don't understand.
You know my father burned my face during an Agni Kai, but what you don't know is that it was as a result of me trying to save new recruits from certain death. When our general suggested that we sacrifice them in order to win a battle near Ba Sing Se. There were children in that division.
There was utter dread and revulsion on Aang's face now.
When we were facing Zhao, I realized how wrong and cruel I had become. What had happened to me that I turned out to be such a monster?
Zuko! But Zuko can't stop now. He needs Aang to know.
And later, you still saved me and asked if we could be friends.
Zuko grits his teeth.
You killed something in me with that question, and yet you ignited something in my heart that had been extinguished for such a long time. And it hurt, Aang. It hurt so much that I could only lash out at you. I didn't know any other way. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I couldn't.
Suddenly, Aang's arms are around him, and Zuko's face is pressed against Aang's chest, hugging him so fiercely, yet gently, as only his uncle could ever accomplish. Zuko hugs him back, crying to the sound of Aang's heartbeat. Or is it his own? He doesn't even try to hold it back. The tears, the choking sounds, the angry helplessness toward the things he has done, which he cannot change.
Don't change, he breathes out. Aang, don't let my father change who you are. He did it to me, he did it to Azula. But don't let him hurt you like that. Don't become like him. I did, and it was worse than death.
He tried to change you, Zuko, but you didn't let him. Zuko feels Aang's fingers in his hair. You're here, caring, brave, and facing the unthinkable. Zuko doesn't know how long they just stay like that, but when he can talk again, he leans back and looks at Aang.
I need you, Aang. We are all prisoners of this war, and you are the only one who's free. I want you to stay free. I don't want you to be scared of these swords. Of yourself.
Aang glances toward Zuko's swords, but looks down. What if I can't do it? What if I can't kill him? Zuko winces. That's what he's been afraid of since he met Aang at the South Pole. Aang let himself be captured just to save his friends. There's no way he could easily turn into someone willing to kill Zuko's father, no matter what.
So you won't do it, Zuko says with a shrug.
There's really nothing else he can say.
Aang looks at him, surprised.
But Roku told me.
You're not Roku, Zuko says firmly. If it's not who you are, then you won't do it.
But I'm the Avatar.
Aang looks lost.
Zuko frowns and regards him for a moment, trying to remember what he's learned during his travels.
Yes, but you are Avatar Aang. What you have in common with Avatar Roku is the Avatar part. You've been given the gift of carrying the knowledge of the ages, but you are not the previous Avatars. You know that, right?
Aang blinks. I do, but how do you know? He asks with wonder. And then he adds sheepishly, people usually think they are my past lives. Even I use that phrase sometimes. Zuko has heard him do that, too.
Because it's easier to explain, he suggests.
Huh? Zuko had the same problem with explaining his heritage and situation when he was banished.
To people who don't care or don't want to get it, he clarifies. You and Roku and Kyoshi are completely different people. It's the only logical explanation. You share with them the Avatar State legacy. I don't really know what that is. You're the expert there. But if you were the same person as Roku, you wouldn't be able to meet him in the spirit world, would you? There you'd be the same person.
Aang thinks about it. Well, I guess so. I mean, yes, I would be. And I wasn't.
So, with that established, you don't have to pretend you're someone else or do what they tell you. If the universe needed another Roku, you would have been born as Roku. The world needed Aang, and so here you are. If you try to be somebody else, you disrespect the person you are.
Zuko, you're really smart, you know?
Well, I've read a lot.
But how are you so wise? That can't be learned by reading.
Zuko shrugs sheepishly. I've been to a lot of places the last 3 years, and there were moments I actually paid attention to who I met and what they told me. I do think you should meet this one creature, too. They were very wise. But...
But?
I was trying to find you, the Avatar, for 3 years. I did my research. I've read every scroll I could find about air nomads and the Avatars and... Well, every other nation where the Avatar could have been hiding. I've never believed that there was another Avatar after your birth. I had no idea how or where you were hiding, but somehow I knew I would find an air nomad. Maybe because there were no others from your people who could help me? It was scarier. It's always scary to face what you don't know, and the universe never went easy on me.
Aang thinks about it for a moment. I never thought about what it was like for you when you were trying to capture me.
I really wanted to go home, Zuko confesses.
Aang winces.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
I hope we can at least make it possible for the others to go home one day, Zuko says longingly.
I will do my best.
Aang, it's not only on your shoulders. Everybody is responsible for making it happen.
Aang smiles at him.
I'm really happy you chose to join us.
I am too, and I know you will defeat my father. I don't know how, but you will.
Somehow, Zuko just knows it.
The alternative is unthinkable.
You are the first person who doesn't insist on the killing part, you know? Aang tilts his head thoughtfully.
You defeated me, and I'm still alive, Zuko says with conviction.
The look in Aang's eyes is priceless. And then he looks at the swords on the shelf.
Do it again? He asks.
Do what? Zuko asks, confused.
The swords.
Zuko freezes. I don't think.
You are not cruel, and you are not a monster, Zuko.
Aang holds his hand.
You're not.
But it isn't true.
Zuko knows perfectly well who he is. He had seen it at the fire the dragons showed them. The fire was like a mirror that showed everything clearly and without any hindrance. The fire showed the truth about him.
Aang tugs at him.
I want to see if I could.
Zuko shakes his head.
Aang, there is no way you could protect yourself in such a situation. What you did was the only thing that would have given you any hope of surviving it.
Aang looks at him questioningly.
I surrendered to you?
Yes.
I didn't like it, Aang declares. I'm an airbender. I would try to find a way out.
You didn't before, Zuko whispers.
Aang squeezes his wrist.
Zuko, I also felt what you felt. And you wanted to live so badly that you decided to do what you considered unthinkable. And so I figured you wouldn't hurt me as long as I wasn't fighting against you. I had to trust your judgment, and every choice you made that night was the right one.
Zuko looks at their hands.
I don't know, Aang.
Zuko, you also had to face fire after you got burned, right?
Zuko sighs. It's a low blow, but he can't argue that.
It took me ages, and I didn't feel completely at ease until we met the Masters, he confesses.
So, help me face my fire?
Zuko nods and gets up. This is what he's here for, after all. He needs to be the teacher Aang deserves. He walks toward the shelf and reaches for his weapon. The sword's hilts are cold, but they quickly warm up from his body heat, and Zuko breathes evenly, trying to focus. He hands the swords over to Aang.
I know it's not your weapon of choice, but I want you to read the inscriptions first.
Aang takes the swords as if they were spider vipers.
Light and darkness?
Yes, you decide how you use them. And what for?
Aang glances at the blades.
They're sharp!
He gives them back to Zuko as if they were burning his hands.
Yeah, Zuko just shrugs.
What else could they be?
And you didn't even scratch me!
Aang seems shocked.
You didn't fight against me, Zuko says once more.
No, Aang shakes his head. It's not that. You didn't want to.
Zuko puts his hand on his shoulder.
I would rather die than hurt you, Aang.
I know,
and I don't want to second-guess my reactions if something like that ever happens again. And I don't want you to second-guess yourself, either.
Zuko nods and moves to stand behind him. They'd done it multiple times when he was showing Aang the basic firebending katas and guiding his arms, but he'd never been holding swords during their training sessions. And suddenly, Zuko realizes he just can't do it. Obviously, Aang was right, and Zuko isn't ready for this. But then, Aang just takes a step back, and suddenly he's leaning against Zuko's chest. Somehow taller this time, but still a 12-year-old child, and Zuko needs to take a breath and ground himself in reality. This is not Paohai Stronghold, and they are not enemies anymore. He doesn't have to take Aang to his father, and he doesn't have to try to be like his father. He doesn't have to do anything that he doesn't want to do. Take your time, Zuko. I'm sorry I'm asking this of you, but I can't let fear stop me from doing what's right. I want to be free, and you've already rescued me once. I need you to do it again. Zuko exhales shakily. Who, he wonders, is actually rescuing whom? Slowly he lifts his hands with the swords up, just as he had done all those months ago, and yet it feels as if it was yesterday. Aang tenses, and Zuko stops, waving. After a long moment, Aang shudders and gulps. Then he tilts his head back and looks Zuko in the eye. Zuko blinks, floored. What has he done to see such trust in the Avatar's eyes? What had he ever done to deserve it? Breathe, Aang whispers, as much for Zuko as for himself. And, taking his breath, Zuko realizes that he is holding in his arms a child who protected him from becoming the monster his father was trying to turn him into. And Aang had done it simply by following where Zuko led, and by asking the simplest question, one that only a child could have asked, especially after such a nightmarish night. Once again, Zuko was feeling what Aang feels, and he doesn't question what that is, because it would be disrespectful to their past, their present, their future, and all the hope that Zuko both cherishes and desperately needs. May I? He asks finally. Aang nods. Zuko slowly raises his swords until the blades touch Aang's neck. And then he doesn't move, even though he can feel Aang's every reaction, just like it happened all those months ago. Zuko just stands there, waiting. He needs to give him time, and they are in no hurry. Aang's heartbeat calms down gradually, and his breathing slowly becomes less erratic. At some point he tries to lift his hand, but Zuko almost imperceptibly shifts one of the swords, and Aang halts. Zuko doesn't know how long they just stand there, but eventually Aang sighs and leans against him, completely at ease now. It's really not possible to get out, he breathes. Zuko lowers his swords. That's why Zhao let us go, he whispers. Do you think he has ever been in such a situation? Aang still doesn't move.
I don't like to think about him at all.
Me neither. There is a moment of silence, and then Aang turns around and hides his face in Zuko's chest. At the North Pole, he made me do things I didn't want to. He holds onto Zuko's shirt. Zuko puts his arms around his shoulders.
I'm sorry, Aang.
He made me fight in the Avatar state. I don't want to do that ever again. I don't want to hurt people.
Zuko hugs him tighter. So don't. We've all done things we didn't want to, but
it's not your fault.
How is it not my fault? I was there. I did it.
Aang, you are 12 years old, and they used you to fight their fights. They had no right to do that to you, and they had no right to do that to me, either. They are the adults. It's their war. I know it hurts, and I know you, we, will never forget it, but you need to forgive yourself. It's the only way you will not make the same mistake, Aang suggests. No, the same decision. You will not let them make you. Aang just stands there for a long moment. I know it wasn't me, but it was me. Zuko sighs. The me and not me is too complicated to even try to untangle right now. But Aang doesn't expect him to. It would be so easy to hate myself.
Yes, Zuko whispers.
But the masters.
Yes.
And another long silence. How did they end up in such a situation? Zuko? Aang mumbles against his chest.
Yes.
I'm sorry I hurt your people there. Zuko doesn't say anything, but his heart skips a beat. There are no words that can express how he feels about it, so he just hugs him, and Aang allows it.
Aang, don't go there. It will only hurt you, and we can't change the past.
Aang nods once and lets go of him. Thank you, Zuko. I know it wasn't easy to share that with me. I was afraid to mention my fear to you, but you're brave.
I am your teacher, Aang. I'm responsible for you, and it's my duty and my honor to help you become the best you the universe can imagine. I will do whatever it takes to help you.
I know. Zuko brushes his hand over Aang's chest.
You should waterbend out your shirt, he suggests.
I will never waterbend away your tears, Aang says firmly. I'm the Avatar. Your tears will never be forgotten, he says solemnly, but with a warm smile.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Zuko looks around.
It's the first place I looked for the Avatar, you know?
Here? Aang turns and looks at the chasm in front of them.
Yeah.
Zuko stands behind Aang again and puts his arms around him.
The Western Air Temple.
And you found me here. Zuko thinks he has found a lot more here, and he's still discovering more than he ever expected. Upon waking up this particular morning, Zuko had been filled with dread about what this day would probably bring him. But Aang is the Avatar. Zuko should probably already have learned that he is meant to bring only love and peace. You know what Zhao told me after they chained me up? Aang asks.
No.
No one is coming to rescue you. Zuko almost flinches at that.
Azula always told me I was no one, he whispers.
Aang shifts his head and meets his eyes. Just that once, okay? And Zuko feels as if a heavy burden has been lifted from his shoulders.
Okay.
The end.